In the context of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is on a thematic journey up to Jerusalem, where he will die and rise to save us into his kingdom. He has sent out 70 disciples ahead of him to preach about the kingdom of God and prepare people in every city, in every place where he would go, for his coming. He has told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And after we read about the Good Samaritan in the Gospel of Luke, perhaps we become eager to do good to our neighbor, which is right and proper, but so that we do not get a distorted focus, Luke, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, inserts an event so that we will have a correct foundation when we serve the Lord and live our daily lives. Here, Jesus enters a village, and a woman named Martha receives him into her home. We're not sure, but perhaps this is the first time Jesus has visited this family. The rumor about Jesus has spread, and Martha welcomes the promised Messiah into her home. Later on in John 11, verse 27, Martha will confess her faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God who would come into the world. Whether she already understood this now, or if it's not so clear, I'm not sure, but the reputation of Jesus as a teacher of wisdom and miracle worker had spread everywhere. So what does Martha do? Everything that one could expect from a host in a home in that culture, in the culture of this time, as in much of the Middle East today, guests are treated like royalty. So Martha does everything she can to look after her guests and probably all those who were with Jesus. He wouldn't tend to come alone. Martha's actions were completely normal and expected. But there's something else in the text that would be shocking to the first readers. Martha has a sister named Mary, who, instead of doing what would be typically expected, does not help her sister in the kitchen. What does she do? She sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to his teaching. To sit at the feet of a teacher, or at all of another man, when he is a guest in one's home, was something almost unthinkable for a woman in this culture. What was expected of a woman in the culture was to first and foremost take care of the guest and the household chores. Many believe that it was common during this time that men and women did not even sit in the same room when they had guests. That is how it is today in rural areas in a large part of the Arab world. For example, if my wife and I were to come home to visit a conservative Arab family in the countryside, Hannah would go in to the women, and I would sit with the men in a different room. The only time I would be in the same room as the women when we visit the family. So for Mary to sit with the men, would be completely unthinkable. During this time, many rabbis allowed women to receive instruction from the scriptures, while several rabbis had forbidden them to sit at their feet like a disciple and receive instruction. With this in the background, although Jesus allowed and encouraged this. You can imagine how shocking it would have been for Martha that her sister was just sitting there. I want us to notice two things in today's text. First, the problem, and the second, what the culture had imagined as the problem. The syndrome, which we are all probably prone to in one way or another. So what is the diagnosis of Martha syndrome? How does it develop? I want us to notice three things about how this syndrome manifests itself. In verse 40, to be too busy or to be pulled away, as it can also mean. In her zeal to serve Jesus, she was so busy that she was pulled away from listening to and spending time with Jesus. And there can be different things that pull us away from spending time with Jesus. For me, when there is a lot that is jumping around and needs to be done, I have a tendency to cut back on Bible reading to the essentials and to pray shorter instead of having deep fellowship with Jesus. I believe it was Luther that said, "Today I have a lot to do, so I need to pray 2 or 3 hours extra." That's not myself, unfortunately. What is it that tempts you to be too busy or to be pulled away from sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his words, both at home, but also like this, together with God's people in the church? Is it perhaps the workload at work or all the chores at home? Is it perhaps leisure activities such as sports activities? Is it perhaps discouragement and disappointment? Is it because instead of spending time with and listening to Jesus, you choose screens and social media? It's not wrong in itself. And this may sound contradictory, that you are so busy serving Jesus that you do not take time with him. How are you prone to being too busy? How are you prone to being pulled away from spending time with Jesus? How are you tempted not to prioritize sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his words? The second thing we see in Martha syndrome is a wrong attitude. And like a disease, you do not always have to have all the symptoms to be diagnosed with the disease. What does Martha do? She enters when Mary and others are listening to Jesus' words and seems to interrupt when she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do everything by myself? Now tell her to help me." Culturally speaking, if you were to do a show of hands to see who agreed with Martha, everyone would probably raise their hands and agree that it was Mary's duty to help Martha. It was her responsibility to help Martha. And Martha is so frustrated and upset with her sister that she decides to give her a lesson she will never forget. She's going to embarrass her sister in front of everyone. And she even tries to rebuke Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do everything myself? In her frustration, she says, listen and be amazed, and commands Jesus what to do. Now, tell her to help me. Those of you that have shared a household with someone knows what Martha syndrome means in this area. When children are given the task of doing a household chore and complain, that's not fair. Why do I always get that? In our counseling course, we were reminded to never to not use always or never in arguments. When I was growing up, my oldest sister and I had our bedrooms upstairs in the house, and with that came the responsibility of cleaning the upstairs. That included a bathroom. And I can say that I have no difficulty identifying with Martha's judgmental attitude. As a self-righteous Pharisee, I had the habit of trying to force my sister to clean, because I didn't want to clean so much myself. And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Do you recognize yourself in Martha? And I have to say how incredibly grateful I am for everyone who has such a serving lifestyle as Martha, but who, unlike Martha, serves in it without anyone seeing. Like our brother Kevin, when he was here, without complaining, served many times in secret. And there are many others like Kevin in the congregation. And we are so incredibly thankful for everyone who wholeheartedly serves in so many different ways in the congregation. But in our service, there is a risk that a bad, judgmental attitude begins to creep in, where we start complaining, comparing ourselves, and trying to force others to be and serve like me. The big problem is when we want to force others to be and do what we are and are passionate about. But we are different members of the body of Christ that Paul speaks of. And we cannot force an eye to act like a foot, or a hand to try to be an eye. It's not going to work. The most important thing for all of us is if we take time with Jesus. And this does not lead to a passive life. If in communion with Him, we will be transformed by His love, it will lead to a self-sacrificing life where we practically show our love for Him and our fellow man. Is there any area where you have developed a bad and complaining attitude towards others? Is there any area where you try to command others to serve the way you want? Maybe in the home, or at work? The third thing we see in Martha syndrome is in verse 41, worries and concerns. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about so many things. And I can identify completely with Martha. Worry is the sin I struggle with in difficult circumstances, or when the pressure increases, which is a lack of faith and trust that God has everything in His hands. Doesn't this show how distorted our focus is? Where we become so preoccupied with our worries and what we worry about, that we don't go to the one who is the very solution to our worries and doubts. We're so inclined to keep it to ourselves instead of going to Jesus and leading our burdens with Him. It is downright ironic when our worries and struggles cause us to not take time with Jesus. In Martha's case, she neglected to spend time with Jesus in order to be as good a host as possible. She didn't have to serve the best meal, but could have served something simple to take time with Jesus. Something we have learned with 5 children is that if the house were sparkling clean, then we would never have any guests. We have to learn to prioritize. How about you? Are your worries and concerns keeping you from spending time with Jesus? What is it that worries and concerns you? Are you, like me, inclined to want to play God and take control of your difficulties yourself? Does worry consume you instead of leaving what you worry about in God's hands? And sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to Him. Worries and concerns, instead of leading us away from Christ, should lead us to Him. We need to give up control of circumstances and learn to trust Jesus. When things are beyond our control, we need to learn that God has not abdicated from His throne, that He still rules the universe and has everything in His hand, even yours and my life. A song artist, Lina Sandell, everything rests in the hands of my Father, so should I as a child be anxious, He who bears for me the heart of a father, for He gives to each newborn day its fair share of joy and pain, labor, rest, and pleasure. He Himself is close to me every day, for each special time with special grace. He wants to bear each day's worries, He who is called both strength and counsel. I can spare tomorrow's cares, although my path of walking seems uncertain. As your day, so shall your strength be. This promise He gave me. Wonderful word. If we sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His words, if we know that He is with us, and that He will never abandon us, then we need not worry. We don't need to be anxious. Then we can sing like a children's song. With Jesus in the boat, I can smile in the midst of the storm. Smile in the midst of the storm. We need to have the right perspective. The storm is still there. The circumstances are still there. But how prone we can be to fall into the Martha syndrome with busyness, being drawn away from spending time with Jesus, having a wrong and judgmental attitude towards others, and worrying. So what is then the solution to Martha syndrome? Culturally speaking, one would expect Jesus to tell Mary to go and help her sister. But surprisingly, he doesn't do that. So what is the solution to Martha syndrome? The answer is simple, like Sunday school answer. Like children, what is the answer? Jesus is the answer. Choose the good part like Mary. Jesus says in verse 42, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, and it will not be taken away from her. Only one is necessary. It certainly does not mean that it is unimportant to serve, which Martha will faithfully do again in John 12. Nor does it mean that we should neglect to serve. But only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, and it will not be taken away from her. And that is to sit at Jesus' feet and humbly listen to his words. Serving can wait until after we have spent time with and listened to Jesus' words. Spending time with Jesus and listening to his words comes before everything else. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This does not mean that we should neglect our obligations by using reading the Bible or listening to sermons as an argument to avoid doing what God wants us to do. Example, in our homes. But we must have the right priorities. What does it mean for us here today to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words when he is not physically among us? Is it to take personal time with Jesus in everyday life? Or is it to take time with other Christians in the household to listen to Jesus' words together? Or is it to meet with other siblings in everyday life to listen to Jesus' words as in a Bible study group? Or is it to prioritize spending time with God's people on Sundays to listen to Jesus' words together? Yes. All of the above. Only one is necessary. This is the answer to the Martha syndrome, to sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to Jesus' words. My wife and I taken a counseling course, one could say, probably. And something that the teacher highlighted that often either the personal life of Jesus or the life with Jesus together is that what struggles. It does not have to mean that just because you have a restored life with Jesus and a life with Jesus and others that all problems disappear. But then they end up in their right perspective. You like, the illustration is nice, that the Christian life is like to stand on two legs. Life and support with others. And the other leg is standing, that is time with Christ, ourselves. It's the same for us. We need individual life with Christ and life together. When it works, all things wind up in the right perspective. Like in the song, fix your eyes on me. All things around melt away like snow. In the light of His glory and splendor. We need to prioritize spending time at the feet of Jesus, where we listen to His words. That is why we in the congregation let the proclamation of the Word of God have a central role in our worship services, because we all need to prioritize listening to the Word of Christ. If you move away from here, become a member of a congregation that prioritizes listening to the Word of Christ. When it comes to Sundays, prioritize. If you have the opportunity when you work, in addition to sports and leisure activities, so that you can be with God's people every week and hear His Word. Let it also affect our vacation plans when we travel to visit a congregation to come together with God's people on the Lord's Day to worship Him and listen to His Word. Even when it comes to during the weeks, if you have the opportunity, prioritize meeting the body of Christ, other believers, to listen to the Word of Jesus and the Bible. If you live in a household with other believers, prioritize listening to the Word of Jesus together every day. Not as a legalistic way, but in a life-giving way, as much as you need food and water to survive. But also, that we sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His words in our personal devotional life. Something I struggle with is that it can easily become a checklist Christianity. Read the Bible? Check. Pray? Check. Without spending time with Jesus. Not simply as a slave, but as fresh air to breathe as Christians. Having fellowship with Him. Maybe you struggle in this area, where you have difficulty getting into a routine. Something that has blessed me a lot is a book called Explore. I do not see it as a replacement for Bible reading, but as a supplement where you slowly go through Bible books, where you are given questions that help you to ponder the text, to apply it, and to pray based on the Bible text you have read. If you'd like to try using this, there are samples of this in both Swedish and English, on the book table. To listen to the words of Jesus is not just listening to sermons, reading the Bible, but also contemplating, studying, memorizing, and putting it in our hearts. And what is the natural response to spending time with Jesus and listening to His words? The natural response. The following text in Luke 11, verses 1 to 13, it is to pray. In this text, we get an example of how we can pray in response to Jesus' words with the Lord's Prayer, where we get headings from which we can pray, a rubric from which we can pray. We also get examples of the attitude we should have when we pray, an unabashed perseverance, and also expectation in prayer with a childlike faith. So the natural thing when we sit at Jesus' feet and listen to His words is to respond back to Him in prayer. Let's conclude by reading in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And He said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" We're now going to get an opportunity to respond in song. And the song title is, "It is only by grace that we can come." Let us sit at His feet, listen to His word. The way is open by Christ. Let us hear the gospel and be changed. Come to Jesus, sit at His feet, and listen to His word.